Wild Weekend. And I have this one. I have your buddy Ridge. And I have the Gary Glitter.
All right, here we go.
That's a good opening to the show.
This is what, ladies and gentlemen, this is what is going on in my mind 24 hours a day. I can't sleep. I can't concentrate. That's why you have attention deficit disorder. That's why occasionally I scream on the radio. That's why. All these songs playing at the same time in your head.
All right, I'll lose them one at a time here.
All right, goodbye.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
And fittingly, we end with Pedro.
You never saw such a show.
Screaming aloud, kids, you'll get ice cream.
All right, well, listen, we will get the opening music fixed here in the next couple of days. I have a bunch of stuff for you in the opening salvo here before we get to the actual program. And today we're going to try to get to the Vibrator Olympics that we didn't do yesterday.
There were a lot of women standing by with their vibrators yesterday.
Also, the new edition of Dear Dottie, and today we've got to start going through these drop-in tapes that we have on the wall behind us.
They're actually pushing the drop ceiling above our heads.
Oh, and Jimmy the intern out running an errand for me right now.
And
but
you give me a hard time.
But when he gets back, we're going to give him a breath test.
Okay.
Today will be the day for the breath test.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's anything that is, what's the word I'm looking for here, that is...
Prima Donna-esque?
Yeah, about sending a guy out to go buy you some tires.
Hey, you know, you're preaching to the choir here. I mean, really, I know exactly what you're talking... Jimmy has done more legwork revolving around my automobile than any other employee we've ever had here.
I told Mike, I'm taking a page out of his book today.
Sure.
I was coming into work, and I noticed that the car was shimmying very much to one side. And I got out, and I looked, and, you know, me with my... I'm very surprised. So I always drive 55 and obey the local speed limit and never go up over a curb. Yeah. I'm surprised that the tread would be... so worn on my tires that it was virtually down to nothing.
Wow. And good time to get those tires replaced.
Like with little bits of the steel belt poking through.
Oh, that's not good.
As a matter of fact, you see where I cut my hand?
I don't want one of the like shards of steel that was coming through the tire?
Yeah, so I had the thought, this was at about 12 noon today.
Right.
I could stop on the way into work. Mm-hmm. Instead of being to work, we don't really have to be here till 2:30.
Right.
I could stop and get it done, or I could put it off for another day.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I'm the laziest guy in America. Mm-hmm. I took the latter. I put it off for another day until I got here.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what triggered the thought for me?
What was that?
Is that Jimmy was running in and out doing one of the many errands that you have him doing.
Yes, yes.
You know, one of those things where he'll come in like with papers for Mike to sign.
Right, right.
Mike hands him money and he leaves the room and there's all kinds of... I saw him come running in back and forth and I thought, wait a minute.
Jimmy does several jobs for me, absolutely, every day.
Wait. Hey, my good lad, what are you doing right now? And he's so eager to please. God bless him.
Sure. And he loves driving automobiles. If he could drive a new automobile every day, somebody else's car, he'd love it.
I said, listen, go buy me some tires.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, okay. Now, some of you out there might think, how could you buy tires without going to even look at the tires?
Yeah.
This is the kind of sophisticated shopper that I am. You know, I once heard an ad on the radio that said, would you ever buy a car without driving it? Would you ever buy a pair of shoes without trying them on?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer for me and both of them was yes.
Now, I part company with you on the car thing because I really think it's essential to drive an automobile before you buy it because, you know, you never
car's
know.
Car's a car.
Yeah, see,
shoes are shoes, tires are tires, parts is parts.
But for shoes, for example, I mean, even if you know your size, the way the shoe is made could possibly be smaller or larger than would fit your foot.
The only thing that I do try on is bathing suits.
And then that's because you're breaking a rule when you do that.
Yeah.
And you don't try them on over underwear. You try them on next to your skin.
Absolutely. I peel off those shorts.
Right. Preferably after you've been playing like maybe four sets of tennis.
What, have you been in Macy's after I've been in there? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll give Jimmy the intern his daily breath test, something we haven't been doing for a while. And I also want to ask him exactly what went on in my house last week, because he did some house sitting for us last week.
You know, he did sound, when I called your house and he answered the phone, he did sound as though he might have had someone else there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that was just kind of my read on it.
Well, you know me, I'm like a dog that I could smell that there was something.
Something going on?
Something happening in the house.
You know, if it smelled like bad teeth, it was just Jimmy's breath.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. It was that other smell.
Really?
That other smell.
Did you do some... you already done the serious inspecting?
Of course I have. Downstairs, I said to Frieda, I'll change the sheets. So listen, don't worry about it, honey. I'll change the sheets.
Sure. Check the pool.
Haven't opened the pool yet.
Oh, okay.
Haven't opened the pool.
Could he have gotten in there while...
Oh, absolutely. I'm sure that was probably the main source of bathing for Jimmy. And whoever was there with him.
I see. That's why he has that close-cropped haircut, because, he doesn't have to worry. He basically shaves his head down to the nub on the on his side.
So listen, we'll get him in here in a second. He's out running that errand now, and then he'll be back. Also today, I want to, maybe we'll do this in the opening part, really interesting kind of an inside radio thing. You know how we always are reading the ads from the out-of-work disc jockeys in
yes.
the Radio and Records magazine and
right.
trying to help them find gigs across America?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A DJ has taken out an ad in which he asks for our help.
Really?
Oh. Yes. In the positions sought section,
beautiful.
Where they have all of these ads like Attention Austin, Texas Radio, DJ with 1 year experience looking for full or part-time work, Gonzo Gregg's Big Dumb Show, seek station with tools and a commitment to win,
mm-hmm.
Cold Women, Cold Weather, Eck. I love Top 40. Play-by-play radio pro seeks warm weather.
Some of these, as you might imagine, difficult to understand, even to those of us in the radio industry.
Yes. And then it says, hey, Don and Mike, please help me find a gig in Washington or Baltimore.
Hmm.
The evil music satellite took over my station.
Oh.
And it's got his phone number, so we can,
excellent.
We can call him in a few to find out the latest. Oh, I want to meet... Who is the guy that directed Casino?
Martin Scorsese, I believe.
I got to meet him.
Really? Why?
I got to meet him. I got to speak to him. That movie Casino has been all over the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I watched it parts of it yesterday before I came in, and then last night when I got home, since Frieda and I are currently without a child, Bart is away at camp.
Right.
We have big spaces of time to fill together.
Yeah.
So we're congregating in front of the box.
Sure.
And we're watching more movies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We watched Casino. I watched it again last night. And keep in mind, I saw it when I was out in the theaters, like the fourth time I've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed anybody who's seen the movie Casino,
yeah.
the music, I hope this is not too deep, I hope this is not too I hope I'm not thinking too much here, using
okay.
my incredible intellect too
a little
much.
Too esoteric for the average moviegoer?
Perhaps, but I've noticed the music in the movie Casino
right.
doesn't jive with the year in which the scenes are being shown.
Okay.
And
well, what year do you think the scenes are shown in?
Well, they kind of give you a chronological order. They say
right.
Las Vegas 1970,
yeah.
San Francisco 1974.
And what sort of music are we hearing?
Well, we're hearing it. You're hearing music from all different times. Music from the best mix of the 60s, the 70s, and 80s, and the music is just made to punctuate whatever the scene is.
And very, if I remember correctly, a very active soundtrack.
Right.
I mean, like, non-stop music.
And here's what I think. I think you got to be real smart to have figured this out. And I figured it out.
Okay.
So I want to call this guy and I want to say, listen, you're a genius, but I think that this thing with the music is wasted on most people because most people are not as into the movie as I am.
Now, what you mean, the fact that it's music from a different era?
No, what I mean is that, how do I put this? I think that the music, boy, I really wanted to make a deep statement here, and all I'm doing is digging myself in a hole.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out what your point is.
Yeah. So am I. The music goes with the mood. For instance, about three quarters away the way into the movie, when Sharon Stone is with James Woods.
Yes, her ex-husband drug dealer.
Right, the pimp.
Right.
When Robert De Niro is calling them up and saying, just put her back on a plane and you get here. The music in the background getting louder and louder is that song by Harry Nilsson, Without You.
Mm-hmm.
I can't live.
Uh-huh.
I can't live without you. Bah, bah, bah. And I noticed that the music is getting louder as they are screaming and yelling, starting to throw stuff around.
Yeah. Right.
And I found this throughout the whole movie, that there were songs that... Oh, here is Robert Spiewak. Hello, Robert.
Hi, I've come to back you up on some thoughts.
Well, I'm not done with my thoughts yet.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to jump in, but you called me over.
Well, I called you over because you were standing right there, like, waiting to be called over.
Sorry.
You were, you know, we can tell when you come lumbering into the studio, you have a demeanor about you when you want to come on the air.
But I agree with Don.
The song, listen, here's what I want to say.
There's an unusual position for you.
He's a man of good taste, Mike. Not everybody around here just lines up to kiss my butt.
I know, that's not
true. I happen to think I'm right about a lot of stuff.
I'm waiting for you to finish your point, because I don't understand what you're talking
about. Wasn't
I
right about Rosie O'Donnell?
Yes.
A day before everybody else?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wasn't I right about Independence Day? Didn't I really go out on a limb there?
You were. The controversial statement you took saying that movie was going to be successful was, I think, a trailblazing statement.
Listen, here's the thing. The music in this movie, Casino, most times people wouldn't notice it. It's just background. They went to the time and the trouble not only to find music that didn't really match the era, but the music that is used matches the intensity of the scenes in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And the music is such a helter-skelter mix
right.
of all kinds of junk. It hit a nerve with me, and I thought, I think I understand. And I didn't know who the director was. I thought it was my first thought. I said, "Who directed this movie? Ron Howard?"
No,
not exactly a Ron Howard production.
Rob Reiner did that movie. No, it's the great Martin Scorsese.
Well, we got to get him, Rob, because I want to tell him that even though I can't describe it, I think I understand what he was going for, and I believe that intellectually, as far as making movies go, I am now on a par with him.
I'll call him. I'll call his people anyway.
You have to Raging Bull, Taxi Driver, yeah. Goodfellas, all these fantastic movies.
So he's made lots of great movies.
Oh, absolutely.
But it was like last night I had some kind of revelation as I was watching this and listening to the music. Because, you know, I really understand what this guy's trying to do.
It's not just thrown in there willy-nilly.
Yes.
There's actually a real point behind the music.
I wasn't just watching Joe Pesci stab the guy with the pen
right.
because he told Robert De Niro to get bent. I was listening to the music, and I wasn't just watching the guy get his head squeezed in the vise until his eye popped out.
You were absorbing the entire sight and sound experience.
Yes.
That the filmmaker wanted you to, mm-hmm. and most people took it for granted while you appreciated
Thank you.
The talent of Martin Scorsese.
Thank you.
There you go.
Marty Scorsese. A beautiful human being, Marty Scorsese.
A beautiful neurotic human being. I think
much like myself, all creative people are neurotic.
You will find that Martin Scorsese. I saw a very long interview with him recently, and he's very paranoid. He has that attitude that anything that can go wrong will go wrong. And for a man who is as successful as he is,
sounds like me.
It's very, very similar.
Sounds like me.
Very, very, and you
just like me. Give me the phone number, Rob. I'll call his office right now.
Martin Scorsese. Is it Scorsese or... I know for a long time people were saying Scorsese.
Yeah, lately they've been saying Scorsese.
As opposed to Scorsese.
Right, which is what we all used to say.
And his mother is in almost all
of his movies. Yeah.
That's right. She's, you know, in the movie Goodfellas, she's around the kitchen table when they're talking about hacking off the paw.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like, I almost feel like, remember that movie Awakenings? Just another Robert De Niro movie where he was this guy who was like a vegetable and all of a sudden he woke up and he said, wow.
Right.
This is like I feel. But last night I was watching this and I said, wait, hold on. I really am experiencing more than just the gratuitous violence and the colors and the glamour and the guys getting shot in the head. I think I'm digging what this man is saying.
Did it move you?
Did I... What? Are you asking, did I move my bowels?
No, did it... Did it move you? Did it affect you emotionally? Did the music and watching
yes,
the movie...
Yes, oh, I understand what you're saying.
Did it make the experience deeper for you watching the film?
Yes, it did.
You did not move your bowels during the movie.
Yes, though. I did.
You did? Oh,
yes,
wow.
I did.
A TV in every room.
Now, yesterday you were saying that Casino wasn't such a great movie.
No,
you
it's
have
not.
A,
it's
you have
too
a
long.
Higher opinion of it today?
No, I have the same
okay.
opinion of it. I would chop an hour out of it.
Okay. I think you could do that easily.
You could take an hour of it out and make it a much better movie. And I think once I have the chance to speak to Mr. Scorsese on this subject, he'll come right around, because I can't imagine there are too many other people out there who get this thing with the music that he was doing.
After you talk to Marty Scorsese, perhaps... At the end of the conversation, you could mention something to him which would help us realize another goal that we have had on this program.
Oh, the three picture deal?
No, to get Bobby De Niro on the show. We have wanted Bobby De Niro for years on this program.
Sure. I love him. Can I tell you that right now? I really love him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love him. I love him not like I love Dennis Rodman, okay?
Oh, okay. I mean, do you...
Yeah, I love him.
Mm-hmm. Counselor? Counselor?
I am God and he is me.
You talking to me? Are you talking to me?
He's so good. He's so cool. Yeah.
He's a good actor. That's another controversial stance that you're taking here.
Well, you know me, Mike.
On the program.
I'm Mr. B-A-double-L-S.
Independence Day will be a successful movie, and Robert De Niro is a very good actor.
Listen, you wait until I get Martin Scorsese on the phone. Hey, Spiewak, do you have his phone number? While we're waiting for that phone number, here's a question for you. How could it be that my wife could go to the OBGYN yesterday, and she tells me that she's going to be on some new hormones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she tells me that she's very excited. And I said, wow, what is the side effect? Because she was happy. She said, I was wondering, was it like 4 years ago when she took the hormones and it made her boobs bigger?
Yes.
She said that the hormone that she's taking now will make her hornier.
Ah.
But my question is, and I didn't ask this to Frida, exactly how does the doctor tell you that? When
he would say that by taking this medication, you may find that you have an increased sex drive.
Exactly. Oh, okay. All right. I was just wondering.
Do you think the doctor would go, I tell you, eat some of these, and I'll tell you right now.
You're going to knock the bottom right out of that.
You are going to be so horny. You're going to be hornier than a sea urchin with a Viking helmet on.
I don't know.
Hey, baby, take a bottle of these. Go for it, baby.
You know, maybe I'm a little defensive about that, because she mentioned this to me yesterday. I said, oh, you went to the OBGYN. Ugh. And she said, he said, you're a very lucky man.
Really?
And I said, what?
It's kind of a,
she was kidding.
He didn't say that.
No, she was kidding. And
I watch those OBGYNs. Yeah. I think you always got to keep tabs on
it. You know, and I picture, what is she in their stirrups there? And he's got that big miner's helmet on with the light on the front of it going, wow, your husband's a lucky man.
Flips that big welder's helmet thing
she
off.
Was only kidding about that, though. But she tells me that will be one of the side effects.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder what Martin Scorsese is going to say about that.
We'll find out right now.
And I, you know, when we get on the line, I'd like to know what the pronunciation of the name is, whether it's Sazy or Sezzy.
You know, I have no idea how to phrase this to him, but I'm sure that he's going to know what I'm talking about. The movie music for Casino is all over the place. Makes no sense, but makes perfect sense. Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now. We're looking for Martin Scorsese.
Okay, please have the client services.
What? Huh? She sounded like a Charlie Brown teacher.
Yes.
Well, that new Pepsi commercial, which I think is so funny when they're all talking like...
Oh, at the drive-through window?
Yeah. Great, great commercial.
Hello? Do you think he's got voicemail?
Hello. This is Martin Scorsese.
This is Aaron Spelling.
Scientific Amazing, can you help, please?
Yes. The Zarin Spelling. I'm at the Lombard Bungalow.
I need to talk to Marty Scorsese.
You think it's Scorsese?
Yeah. I think I've heard it that way. I've heard it both ways. I always like
Scorsese!
I like Scorsese.
Yeah, but you got to do your hand like that. Yeah.
Scorsese!
Hey. The Italian way. Hey!
What's the matter with you?
Hey!
Why are you...
All right. Shut up with your face. And King of Comedy. Another great Robert De Niro movie.
Was that directed by? That might have been also.
Could have been by Robert, by Martin Scorsese also.
Thanks for holding.
Yes, Marty, please.
Marty Baum?
Scorsese.
I can give you to his agent's office.
Sure.
He's not at this office.
Do you know where he might be?
No, I have no idea. This is
Lee Majors.
I'm sorry? Hello?
This is Lee Majors.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. This is his agent office. I can give you to his agent's
okay.
office, and they might be able to, you know, maybe help you out, but I'm
right.
not too sure. It's Jessica Tuchinski. Okay?
Okay.
I'll see you there.
Okay, and I'm right. I was the $6 million man.
She was very impressed, Lee. Lee Majors. Where did you pull that one out of?
I don't know.
That one came out of thin air. You caught me on that one. Lee Majors.
Jessica Tuchinski's office.
Yes, hello, Martin Scorsese, please.
This isn't Martin Scorsese's office. This is his agent.
Scorsese? Hello, this is Don and Mike. We're doing our radio show right now, our national radio show.
Hello there, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great. How do you pronounce his last name? Is it Scorsese?
Scorsese.
Scorsese.
Is the last S pronounced like an S or like a Z?
I would say Like a Z.
So it's
with an S flare.
All right, so it's a Scorsese.
Listen, how would I get a hold of him? I want to tell him. I've seen the movie Casino a few times now, and I really, really dig what he did with the music, and I don't think that many people out there are as gifted as I am to be able to understand what he was trying to do with the music,
mm-hmm.
even though I can't totally explain it myself.
Sure.
But I know he'd like to know that somebody out there gets what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'd like to speak to him.
Well, actually, we're his agents, and we are in the habit of giving out his home number to any random caller that calls in, so let me just get that for you.
Perfect.
Could you hold?
Super.
Yeah. here's what our policy is here at Creative Artist Agency. You need to fax your request to the
CAA.
Following number.
Oh, is that the one that I saw on that Letterman show?
Yeah.
On that HBO show?
Yeah, Michael Ovitz.
Yeah,
that's right.
Treat Williams is the guy who runs your agency, right?
Would you like fax information for Marty?
Hey, is Mr. Since we're always looking for bigger fish on this show, is Michael Ovitz available to take our call?
Michael Ovitz is no longer with Creative.
Oh, that's right.
Don't you remember, Mike? He went to Disney.
Right. He went to Disney.
Who's the main guy there? Who's there? Katzenberg? Does he work for you?
No, he's with Spielberg now.
Am I on the radio right now?
Yeah.
Yes. I have to be going.
With DreamWorks.
I'm very busy.
Listen, tell Martin Scorsese, Don Geronimo, famous disc jockey, I understand what he's doing with the movie Casino.
Okay.
I'd like to talk to him about it.
Sure, I'll let him know.
Would you really? Now, come on.
I'm
serious.
I'm going to let him know. I'm going to immediately drop all that I'm doing.
I just wasted a half hour of network radio on this, please.
I expect that you'll get a call from him in the next half an hour.
There you go. That's all we can ask.
Can I give him a number to call you?
Yes.
Sure. We should give them our secret number.
Yes.
All right.
That everybody knows now.
All right. Then I won't give her the 1-800 ask for ass number then. All right, hold on a second, please. Hold on, please. All right, Rob, would you please give her the number?
There you go. And we can look forward to a call from Scorsese prior to 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah, sure. Sure, my butt. Hey, a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, more great stuff like you've heard here in the opening salvo.
I'm counting on it, Lee.
More great stuff. I think when we come back, we'll start with a story about Brett Butler and her boobs.
And then maybe you can talk about your relationship with Farrah. Farrah Fawcett.
Oh, she's good, Mike. She's good. Knock the bottom out of her.
There you go. He said three times already.
Be right back.
Radio needs a good kick in the ass.
The Don and Mike Show. Sick, but these days, what isn't? The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, listen, you know, it's not that crazy to call somewhere like California and leave a message for a guy like Martin Scorsese and have him call back. I know that we've had famous guys that we've gotten through to before on the show just by calling the offices.
Sure, you never know what's going to happen.
I guess the most famous recent one that we've had was a couple of months ago, the guy who's the president of CBS.
Yes.
Yeah. Guy, he had a girl's name, right?
Leslie. Moonves.
Yes, Leslie Moonves. Just called her out of the blue one day and actually got through to the guy's office.
And he was very nice to us, huh, boys?
Yeah, so who knows? Maybe Martin, what's his name, Scorsese, will call us back and I can tell him all about the movie Casino.
I certainly hope so.
Call that I know he's waiting to get about a movie that was out over a year ago and is just now on pay-per-view.
Yeah, he might be more inclined to discuss his current project, but, you know, what the heck? If you're complimentary, they always like to hear it.
Now, listen, I got a whole bunch of stuff here. Besides the DJ who put the ad in the trade paper and mentioned us by name,
right.
A whole bunch of stuff to get to, but we have a late breaking situation.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call from our affiliate in Jacksonville, North Carolina, down by Camp Lejeune.
Yes.
WLAS, the Big 910.
Long-term affiliate with this program. They've been with us for quite a while.
I think maybe our second or third affiliate.
Yeah, absolutely.
They called to give Rob a heads up to tell everybody that they might be breaking into the show down in Jacksonville, North Carolina, because as of this moment, the Hurricane Bertha is like headed right towards the Jacksonville area.
Yeah, that's the track of the storm. You know, they never know exactly where these things are going to go, but I know all along the Carolinas, there's a lot of evacuating going on.
So we'll call the station now.
I mean, you know, silly me. I just made myself laugh. They're evacuating the shoreline. Of course, all over the United States, a lot of evacuating goes on. A
whole lot of evacuating going on. I said, evacuate, baby. Evacuate. Got a whole lot of evacuating going on.
I laugh at that because I think I heard a commercial for some
Jim.
Health said, product that said, do you evacuate more than two times a day?
I said, shake it, baby. Shake it.
Really? Oh, yes.
Hello, WLAS. This is Don and Mike. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hi, doing good. We called to get like an on-site report of what's happening down there.
Well, we're out of bread and milk. You think there was snow on the ground?
So a lot of people are doing the refrigerator runs this week for the big hurricane?
Oh, yes, sir. Well, there's been a lot of big evacuations. They've evacuated all of the coastal areas so far.
Now, what about there in our radio station at the Big 910? Have you evacuated the station?
Of course not. I got a cooler in here. I'm ready for the storm.
So you're the man that's in charge there? You're going to be battening down the hatches and preparing for the big storm?
Yeah, we got everything, including a big 55-gallon drum of water in case we lose water.
Now, is it just you there? Has everybody left?
No, we have people out. We'll be out on the beaches, so we're going to be covering it for 24 hours.
Now, how close is the radio station itself to the beach?
Oh, I would say we're probably about 25 miles from the beach.
Oh, okay, so you're not really you're somewhat inland then.
Well, somewhat, yes.
So you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
Well, no, Buzz just made a face to indicate that perhaps you won't be okay, Buzz.
Well, no, I don't know anything. He doesn't know. I'm just saying, when you're 25 miles from the beach, that's close enough to be affected by a hurricane.
By the wind and the rain, but yes. But not that. The most dangerous thing in a hurricane is a storm surge.
Right. And we're probably looking at it that one of the places that it may come in at will probably be around Wilmington. That ought to be good for WMFD since they dropped you.
Yeah, screw them. I hope that general manager gets caught up in this hurricane.
What they get.
Wouldn't that be great? Only one person was killed in the hurricane. Guy who canceled the Don and Mike show in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Help me. Help me. I didn't mean to cancel the show. I'm being dragged out to sea.
Oh, yeah.
Don and Mike. Don and Mike.
This is Satan. I've made my first return appearance on the show. I told you, don't drop the show. Have you met Kathy Lee Gifford?
All right. So, what time is the expected arrival of the hurricane?
Well, we're going to expect tropical storm force winds tonight at about 8 o'clock, and we're looking for the storm to basically hit land sometime Friday afternoon.
Oh, all right. Well, then I guess we'll call you tomorrow afternoon.
Hey, well, listen, that'll be great.
Okay, Buzz, do you have other information?
Could be tomorrow morning.
Yeah, they don't know, right? With these things, they have downgraded it to
It's hard to track. The last report I saw said it should hit land around Cape Fear, which is two counties south of Jacksonville.
Counselor?
Well, you got Pender County and then New Hanover County and Cape Fear, yes.
Is Dan Rather going to go down there and strap himself to a tree again?
Absolutely.
Well, you know, if that worked for him, you know what would make me think that would work? For goodness sakes, in that movie Twister, think about this.
Right.
The only way that Mad About You and the other guy, the only reason that they were saved was because they strapped themselves using a belt to a pipe that was coming out of the ground. But my question is, if the Twister was powerful enough to take away trucks and cars and houses and barns, how come it was not powerful enough to pick up these two people who were held to the pipe simply by using a belt?
Because the trucks did not remove their belts and tie themselves to a pipe. They were just loosely sitting out in the parking lot.
This is another question I'd like to ask Mr. Martin Scorsese.
Sure.
I know he had nothing to do with the movie Twister.
He'd be able to tell you all about that, I would think.
I think he and I could be really good friends.
You and Martin Scorsese and Hootie and the Blowfish.
God, I would love to really have a movie star friend or a friend in the movies.
Yeah. Oh, you and me both.
I would love it so much. And not the made-up friends, you know. Not like when I talk about going to the movies with my friends. And when I talk about going to the movies with my friends are the people who are in the movies. Okay? I don't go to the movies with my friends. I go to the movies to be with my friends who are in the movies.
Absolutely. You'd like a 100% like a Robert De Niro movie star friend.
Oh, that new Robert De Niro movie looks fantastic. The one with Wesley Snipes.
I haven't seen the trailer for that.
It's called The Fan.
Oh, really?
Wesley Snipes is a baseball player for the San Francisco Giants, and Robert De Niro is his obsessed fan.
Oh, nobody could play it better.
And Robert De Niro, like, kidnaps him. And at one point, they go into Robert De Niro's house, and it's all raining, and it's lightning. And in the corner, he has about 100 of those little bobblehead baseball dolls. And all the heads are going up and down all crazy.
I like it.
Looks good.
That's another one like his role, speaking of the devil, Cape Fear. He was a crazy man in that, too.
All right, well, listen, we'll dedicate... What's your name?
Jim.
Jim, we will dedicate this to you.
Counselor? Counselor? Is that you? Counselor?
Counselor?
Come out, wherever you are.
That's for you. Good luck with Bertha.
We appreciate it, guys. Well, if she's looking for her probably Johnson, we've got a Camp Johnson full of Marines. So she'll be okay.
Cool. The Marines will take care of you down there at Camp Lejeune.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Goodbye, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, that's the closest we come to the hurricane, our station that's in Jacksonville, North Carolina.
And you never make light of any hurricane, but of course, they have downgraded this one, right? It's 90 mile per hour winds now instead of 105?
Yeah, it's down to 90 miles an hour, but it's still very much a hurricane.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I got a quick question for you.
Yes.
If Malcolm could just uplink into the computer on ID4, is that, like, pretty strange or what?
Are you talking about the movie?
Are you talking about Independence Day?
Yeah.
What about that movie? Now, see, now that movie doesn't try to be realistic, sir. They're talking about the guys who have the big heads coming from space, big spaceships. That movie's not real.
Twister's a movie that's
based in reality.
A truck being pulled away and then staying by a little pipe. I mean, uplinking with a computer like that with your laptop isn't exactly...
realistic scenario, is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, amen. Can we all agree? It's movies. It's movie. Fantasy land.
Yeah. Is this Martin Scorsese?
Oh, it is. How'd you know?
See, I knew he'd call back.
Marty Scorsese.
How you doing, man? Your movies are
fine.
Your movies are fantastic. What's your favorite movie that you directed, Martin Scorsese?
Reservoir Dogs.
No, Quentin Tarantino, you moron.
Buy you dope.
It's on the internet. Look it up.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
Commented on Muriel Hemingway.
Yeah, and on our vacation that happened.
And wasn't there another celebrity who went also last week and we were gone? Maybe
Muriel, or was it Margot?
Muriel Hemingway.
Muriel Hemingway.
Margot Hemingway.
Really?
Yes. Margot's the older sister.
Right.
Muriel was the one that's been on TV a lot. Right.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay. Who else died last week, though? Somebody else in it. Like a low-level celebrity died. I don't think it was of the caliber of a death trifecta, a good old-fashioned death trifecta.
Yeah, I know you're right. And I know there was someone
somebody
else.
Somebody did.
Somebody noticeable, though.
Read it in the newspaper, thought about it. I don't know. Somebody will call with it.
The ghoul chasers will give us a holler.
Sure.
Somebody will call. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Somebody out there digging a shallow grave will call. A shallow grave.
Hey, Show. That's BS.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Your fax machine stopped.
I didn't know that. Has our fax machine stopped?
Yeah.
How would you know that?
Because I sent you a fax.
And it didn't go through?
No, and I didn't put on a cover letter saying Russell's thoughts.
Oh, it's Russell's thoughts.
Oh, Russell. That's about once every 6 months you do that, right?
It's been, about that.
All right, Russell. Well, we'll check the fax machine. How many pages of thoughts do you have coming our way today?
Just eight.
Just eight?
Eight pages of thoughts. That's his usual, isn't it?
Hmm?
Bye, Russell.
Hi.
Bye.
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 Russell, much better at communicating by fax than he is by telephone.
That's why I fax.
Russell the Love Muscle, guy who a couple of times a year sends us what is his equivalent of the Larry King column in USA Today, the innate column that Larry King writes, the inane column.
Yeah, Russell's got...
It's like Hank's thoughts.
Russell, I've noticed over the years you do have some recurring themes there, things that really bother you, but I'd have to hear your thoughts to see if there are any repeats in there.
Yeah.
Well, give us a couple of them right now. Give us a couple live, Russell.
Mike, can I borrow $100? Hold on a second.
That would be one of his thoughts.
Yeah, that's one of his thoughts. That's right. Enough. Yeah, can you borrow $100?
Cousin Howard likes that one. Let me see. I can't.
See, I know this is difficult for you, Russell, because you're really...
He's like Grossman.
From the bottom of the list, Mariel Hemingway, or Margot Hemingway, should be the beginning of the newer, hipper Don and Mike death trifecta.
See, he's like Grossman.
Mm-hmm.
He's very gifted when it comes... Oh, here we go.
We have Russell's thoughts. Good, we don't have to talk to him anymore.
I've got them right here. Bye, Russell.
Bye, Russell.
Take care, not drugs.
Bye. All right, bye. Okay, gotcha.
It's a strange man.
Russell's thoughts. He's right. Eight whole pages of them.
Eight pages, wow. And I love Russell's thoughts.
Sure.
I'll read just a couple of them to you now, being as you've just heard Russell, and you hear the man behind the thoughts.
Sure, this is the man behind these very strange thoughts.
Don and Mike. Is there going to be a sequel to the Bible?
Yeah.
Beans, they're good for your heart. Yeah. The more you eat, the more you fart. F. Lee Bailey. It is sad to think there is no more Ernie or Kermit. I love Elmo. Do you guys remember Barnacle Bill the Sailor? In the old days, when women told men to take a shower to calm their sexual urges, wouldn't a hot shower have worked better at letting him work things out?
Oh, God, gross.
How does someone like John Holmes go to the bathroom in the morning? If you wake up...
Second reference to the male anatomy here.
Sideways.
Do librarians get employee discounts or professional courtesy for their late charges? Old Mother Hubbard went to the cupboard to fetch her poor dog a bone. But when she bent over, Rover drove her and gave her a bone of his own.
Russell this seems to be a little more top than the normal Russell thought.
Someone's knocking at my door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Mm-hmm. Open the door and let him in. Yeah. Yeah. Swear word. I love driving the D.C. metro area. Tit for tat. Liberace was a marvelous performer. I like 1-800-COLLECT. Spit.
Just spit? That was it?
That was all by itself.
Sometimes I like to make sure.
Don, I can understand the B on the Ravens. My dad worked for Westinghouse for 33 years. I hope you guys can top that. There has been documented proof of slavery in the Sudan. Front page, Baltimore Sun, June 16th.
Yeah.
I think God made a big mistake leaving out thou shalt not and slave off the top 10. It's more important than 3 of the other top 10s. Huh. There goes a whippity, hoppity hippity. There goes a whoppity, hippity hoppity.
Wow.
I want a hot fudge sundae.
Go get one, Russell.
Iggy. I love my song. Please play Mad Magazine's It's a Gas again. Dennis Murphy strikes me to be a pretty hip guy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love my son.
Oh, good.
The lucky kid. That would be about it.
Is that it? Yeah. Well,
Russell's
polite golf
thoughts.
Applause for Russell's thoughts.
Russell's thoughts, everybody.
Russell's thoughts that seem to get weirder and weirder every time.
Yes, they do. Oh, and about weird.
Yes.
I got a piece of mail today. Somebody, I'm always getting signed up for stuff, and somebody here has signed me up with a company called Crystal Limited from Danbury, Connecticut, the Crystal Film Club, and I'm thinking about ordering these movies because when we've watched movies before in the studio, we've had really good response to it.
Oh, absolutely.
We've never watched movies before of nude women fighting.
Oh, really? Naked fighting?
And yes, I got sent a brochure. Catfights from the Hellfire Club. Dear Don. It's one of those computer things where they put your name in?
Sure.
Dear Don. Years ago, we released Catfights from the Harmony Club, a series of catfights taped live at New York's Harmony Club. In 1995, we started putting on catfights at New York's Hellfire Club. Here is the first of that series. And if you like the Harmony Club, Don, wait until you see these hair-pulling, wild, and aggressive women in 2 hours of catfight action.
Meow!
And then you open it up inside. And as you can see, we have all kinds of different films available to us. We have nude wrestling.
This looks pretty intense.
We have topless boxing.
Oh, terrific.
Maybe we'll call and order one right now.
Yeah, let's order one, and then we can have one of our famous screenings.
Okay. 1-800.
Only the finest films get shown on this show. Yeah. And I tell you, after that last video that we looked at, anything will be better.
God. The boys are still talking about that last one.
I think the boys will be talking about that forever. Yeah, Mangia Salvatore.
It'd be like having a screening in Sammy's pit. Like when Sammy Davis Jr. screened... what's her name? Linda Lovelace. Yeah. Linda Lovelace. Sure. Here's Pitt.
With Lucille Ball.
And had Lucy and Milton Berle over.
Wasn't Danny Thomas there?
Hello, you've reached Crystal Films.
We're going to be in on weekdays approximately 6 p.m. to about 8 to 9 p.m. Yeah. If you need to reach us during the day, you reach us at our other office at 718-629. That's 718-625.
This guy sounds like he works at one of these places.
On weekends, we should be in here all day. If you need to place a credit card order, please leave your name, your address, credit card number.
And remember, these are the films
you wish to order
that are in their brochure. Who knows what else they have?
Hello? Hello?
Is it 6 p.m. till 9 p.m.?
Yes. Yeah, 3 hours.
All right.
Hey, hello?
We were wondering if you had bedroom stewardesses.
Hello, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now. We'd like to order some films, but we don't really want to pay for them.
Yeah, we're doing a radio program, and we can give you a fabulous publicity for your film collection.
We'd like to order, you want to get a nude wrestling film?
One nude wrestling and one topless boxing.
All right, now here's the description of the nude wrestling.
All right.
The black versus white clash between statuesque model Justine and the beautiful Black Diamond is a rather one-sided affair, with the stronger woman asserting her authority from the outset. Her opponent was clearly outclassed, and the fight was stopped before it went the distance.
Good.
Another black versus white clash follows, but this time the women are more evenly matched, and a savage battle ensues. Chelsea shows her
You almost read right along, didn't you?
She shows something unashamedly, and her opponent is equally uninhibited. As a result, the action is pretty hectic, with lots of hair pulling and general aggression. Let me see. Then we have, next, Black Diamond takes on sturdy scraper Hawkwind in a no-nonsense confrontation.
Black Diamond seems to be seeing a lot of action.
The black girl uses her long legs to good advantage. The black girl. And both these high-spirited young women give everything they've got in their efforts to win. The title ends with a short... Hello?
No.
The title ends with a short clip of an open-air nude match. And then when it comes to topless boxing... We have a slim black bombshell Sarah gives shapely Chelsea a great fight in the first match.
They seem to be into the black-white thing, too.
Who's not, man? These girls are real Eiffels in their very brief skin-tight shorts, but there's a lot of real competitive boxing here.
Yeah!
As well as glamour.
I like a good boxing match.
And this fight goes the full distance before the verdict is accompanied by a bottle of champagne for the winner. A great fight between two lovely ladies.
There you go. Two lovely ladies boxing.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
That, to me, is an evening. That spells an evening of entertainment.
Shavenhead Julie takes on handsome Russian toughy Nikola in the next hard-fought match.
Nikola!
Two good-looking and athletic women match punch for punch, giving no favors and asking for none.
Yeah!
It's five rounds of fistic, memorable, topless confrontation.
Let's get ready to rumble!
That produces... A really deserving winner.
All right.
And let me see. Back to the ring for the final match. Tony and Tina in Roman Rivals.
Yeah.
Take on Black Beauty. There it is again.
Sure.
Black Beauty Helen in a true battle of the Titans. Three skillful, spunky women, each determined to prove herself the better boxer. But there can be only one winner, and there is... By a knockout.
Oh, a knockout.
Knockout. Here's the picture.
Oh.
Here's Nicole.
Oh, there's the...
Nicola.
The shaven head.
Lashing out at Julie. Here's Naked Aggression.
Wow.
Here's Black Diamond in trouble. Boy, she's in trouble there, isn't she?
She certainly is in trouble, and we can certainly see why.
Here's Black Diamond overpowering Justine.
Yeah, there's no question in that match.
Hawkwind the Destroyer.
Boy, they're all just in all sorts of... You can put them in all sorts of crazy poses.
And here's the knockout. Hold on, look at this one. Tina takes her punishment until she can't take any more.
Oh,
and there she is on the ground with her nose bloodied.
She is out.
Okay.
Are they black and white or color?
The girls?
No.
They're black and white, Mike. Weren't you listening?
Oh, I'm talking about the film.
Here's what it says. For those who enjoy these old black... these old black and white and sometimes color super and regular 8mm films.
Perfect.
God,
he's have to be like 50 years old.
Nothing but the classiest.
The finest entertainment available.
Well, sign me up.
All right.
Sign me up. We got to show us some movies. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hi.
I've actually got some of those videos.
What a surprise. Somebody who listens to the show already has them.
Thanks, guy.
And?
And I was telling Rob A., if you actually wanted to see him, I could bring him down to the radio station sometime today if you wanted.
Save us a step.
Sometime today? You come down today? Sure.
All right, because I'm in Mike Romero's old hometown.
Annapolis, Maryland?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But,
well, that's a pretty long drive for you.
I was headed to D.C. right now anyway.
Okay.
All right, well, listen, sure, hold on, we'll give you directions. Come on by.
Okay.
We'll watch a movie this afternoon.
That'll
then.
Be great. It's show. Hey, boys, it's showtime.
Somebody tell
all the boys.
Question.
What? Yes.
I have them from Crystal, okay? And I'll bring those two, the ones you're talking about.
The ones that sent me the ad? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want any from any other companies?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like I know any other companies.
Just say yes, Don.
Yes. Yes,
of course. Yeah, why don't you bring your famous collection down here?
I could do that.
How many of these movies do you have?
Right now, I got about 14.
That's normal. I'm 14.
Are they all of boxing, or are there other...
Some boxing. I've got some nude wrestling. I've got some brawls. I've got anything.
Well, now, do these movies arouse you?
I mean, it's kind of like going to a strip bar. It's a goofy form of entertainment.
But
and I don't get off on normal. I don't like normal porno flicks, and so it's
takes a couple of naked chicks fighting for you to get off, huh?
Yeah,
I can understand that. You don't get turned on by the straight sex.
Sure,
it's got to be a couple of chicks beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, a little hair pulling, and you're all set for the evening.
Hey. To kill a weekend, you know?
To kill a weekend.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. How was I to know that someone would have those movies already?
Well, he saved us a step.
We'll be right back.
Radio Gods, Don and Mike. Have you heard? The Don and Mike Show.
Coast to coast, nationwide. On Bestwood Von Entertainment. Don and Mike. Lafayette, Louisiana, on Sports Radio KACKACY. Thank you for listening to San Diego on KCBQ. Always entertaining, AM 1170 Talk, and in Ocean City, Maryland, 97.1. The Fox.
Yeah.
Phone calls coming up here in a couple of seconds. Rotating random phone scan. We'll have some of that entertainment news in this hour. Also, the Vibrator Olympics today. We just heard the guys coming down with the catfight movies. So we'll be watching a movie on the show today also.
Our new best friend.
Aren't I glad that my son is out of town and does not have to be hearing this show? You know, what is it about a kid? What is it about a kid that makes a kid not want to send his mom and dad a letter from camp, even when the mom and dad gave the kid pre-addressed, pre-stamped postcards?
And you haven't received any correspondence?
We've received nothing from him yet.
He's having a good time.
Yeah. We've sent him about 50,000 letters saying, do you miss us? Do you miss us?
Sure.
Please come back. I thought that it always went the other way around, that the kid was always at camp writing the letters, Mom, Dad, miss you, send me cookies, send me clean underwear.
Well, I think most parents say that when you send a kid to overnight camp, it's something where they are there to experience something new and also to gain their independence. And it actually prepares them to go to college or go away from home a little better than kids that say stay home all summer.
I understand that. And I'm kicking and screaming. I've gone into this with the usual open mind that I have.
You didn't like it last year. I know you weren't necessarily all that high on the idea.
No, well, he's only 10, and he's all the way up in Vermont.
Right.
For goodness sakes, the land of the hag. And up there for... And hi to all you Vermont hags listening to the show.
We based that on the two hags that called us one day from Vermont. We got a terrible fight with them, and then we henceforth dubbed Vermont as the land of the hag.
Now, that's what it says on the license plate. Vermont. Right.
The hag state.
the hag state.
We're just kidding, all you people listening to us up in Vermont.
All you hag bags up there. So, I thought it would be different. Last year, I was very uptight.
Yeah.
This year, I don't think I got uptight until maybe yesterday, which was Wednesday, when there was still no letter from Bart. Up until this point, I've been enjoying...
Right.
The freedom that comes without having a kid around.
Sure.
I mean, we're with Bart every second of every day, and we love it, but suddenly we can do whatever we want. We can go wherever we want. We can leave the house whenever we feel like it.
You're drunk with freedom.
Yes, yes. I wish we could do something, though. We can't, you know, we don't do anything. All we do is, so last night, a big exciting night, we made shish kebab.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Out on the grill. That was it. That's how we're celebrating our independence. And besides that, we spend every other second looking at each other going, how come he hasn't sent us a letter yet?
Well, the thing is, I you know, only being a brand new parent, only for a little over a year now, you rapidly realize that is seriously the only point of your existence, is to raise this child. And when the only point of your existence is gone, you got to be a little frustrated.
Yeah. So I've told Frida she's on the clock. I realize that now. 7 years.
Right.
We have Bart for 7 more years.
Sure. Right.
Then he'll be 18. Then the party starts. That's when I trade up.
Sure.
That's when I go out and I hang around the high schools and I get myself a brand new wife. I pull up in my nice big Cadillac.
Yeah, you'll be like Kelsey Grammer with with his Playboy centerfold that he's going out.
He broke up with her. He's got a He's got another one now.
A new centerfold.
Yeah, but
I'm talking about her. I mean, the fiance was a centerfold in 96. The one that was with him at the All-Star
Game.
Is like a lingerie model.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah, they were both Playboy models.
Tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
He did a pretty good job of singing the national anthem, though.
I thought it was great. I mean, after seeing so many people that get up there that shouldn't be singing the national anthem, to hear him actually just try to do it without any messing around, it was kind of refreshing.
Oh, Simby's at it again.
Oh, that's right, Rob. I got another pair of wings.
That is that's a private joke that we'll let you in on at some point.
Absolutely.
Daddy, teacher says every time the bell rings, Stimpy's pleasuring himself. We were up.
Mom, just leave the door locked, please.
For whatever reason. We were discussing, for those of you who are new to the show and new to our network,
right?
There was a guy, you'll hear us refer to people who no longer are with us, and by that I mean that they're no longer working at the station.
Sure.
Right. There was one of our henchmen,
mm-hmm.
one of our good fellas, Stimpy. He got out of radio. He got so fed up with radio, he quit the business and he moved to Detroit, where he became a fireman.
Yeah, he was more fun. We had more fun with Stimpy. He was a regular on the program. Anytime anything was going on, Stimpy was always right in the thick of it.
He was one of the guys. He was a member of the gang.
Came out to all our appearances and
member
stuff.
Member of the crew.
Sure.
Yeah, he was a good guy. He's a big, like Curly, big guy with a shaved head.
Used to have a great relationship with Rob. They would fight constantly, but they were crazy about each other.
He had a heart of gold, that Stimpy did, and incidentally, never been touched.
No, we pretty much
never
agreed.
Been touched by a human hand down there except his own.
Stimpy has the V on his forehead. There's no doubt about it.
Dennis Murphy has it erased, but Stimpy still has the big V going for him.
Well, I'd ask her out again, but gee, it's just not, that's BS, Rob. That is total BS.
So before we went on the radio today, we were standing here in the studio making small talk, waiting to come on the air,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know how we got to talking about masturbation.
Well, it's amazing. We never discuss that. Yeah, we discuss it every day.
But we did start discussing it. And I said, I imagine of all the guys that I've known, probably Stimpy would probably be the heaviest masturbator.
Most compulsive.
Yeah.
About it, yeah.
Because he doesn't have a choice in the matter.
That's right.
Because he's still a virgin. And he's like, how old is Stimpy, Rob? How old is he?
He's 26, if I'm 25. Yeah, he's 26.
And I will say this after my comments about my other supposed friend from a couple of weeks ago, who's no longer my friend. I'm saying this about Stimpy out of total fondness and out of a real love for this guy.
And we have no facts. We have no... This is, as much as we know it to be true, this is simply speculation. No one can know for sure because Stimpy is alone when this occurs.
Right.
Who knows?
We have a theory about how many times a day he has to do that.
Hundreds.
I think it's involuntary. I think it's...
Oh, really?
I just think,
That would cause a little problem down at the firehouse.
Well, I think... Oh, there he goes again.
Well, that's BS.
I think what it is that he's got a lifetime of this energy and a lifetime of this sexual tension that's been building up.
If we talk to him, we really should say Just not too, you know, he's a very shy boy, and yeah. You know how he is about the sex subjects, and if we talked to him about it, we could tell him, hey, we were all just discussing how many times guys do that during the day. How about you, Steph? How about you? And then maybe we could get, because if we go into it with, we think you are the record holder, we think you're going to be the 1996 Olympian in the pleasuring department.
I bet I could give him a good battle. That's one thing I have mastered, man. If you'll pardon the pun.
Sure.
Boy, I'm good at it. I'm more than good.
You're a pro.
I am great. Yeah, I'm a professional.
Sure.
I'm in the NML.
Alright, you've reached Kevin and Chris. We're not in right now. If you leave your name,
it's at mom's house.
Message, we'll get back to you as soon as we
can. Alright, I'll drive it home. Alright, I'll drive it as mom's.
That's where he is.
Mom. Okay. She's always
mom's house.
His mom would know the answer.
Maybe she's cooking a roast.
Well, based on the number of times he went into the bathroom with the door locked.
Didn't we just call him on the show about a month ago or something?
I forgot what we were asking him about.
A couple of weeks ago.
What were we asking him? Was it just one of those we miss him calls?
Yeah, hello?
Yes. Hello, Mrs. Masder.
Yes.
Hey, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, the DJs.
Yeah.
How are you, Mrs. M?
I'm fine.
Hey, listen, is your son Chris around?
No, he's at work.
He's fighting fires today?
Yeah.
Is he at the firehouse?
Yeah, he is.
Hey, can I put you on hold? Could you give that number to Robbie?
Hold on a second.
Make sure it's not the emergency number. We just want to call and talk to Stimpy.
Okay?
Okay.
Hey, Robbie, will you pick up?
Yes.
That's BS.
Okay.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, are you?
This is Rob.
Oh, hi, Rob. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
I hear you're getting married pretty soon, aren't you?
Yes, October 12th.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that?
Have to fly the boy in for that.
Oh, I did it again, Rob.
So you want this number, huh?
Yeah, if you have the number for the firehouse, that'd be great.
Yeah, I don't know if he's there or not, but it's 810.
Oh, we could ask some of his firehouse buddies. That'll endear him to all that to those guys.
Oh, I'm afraid that would be two friends in one
day.
Hey,
couple of disc jockeys called.
Yeah, they wanted to know something about you.
Hi, ma'am.
Okay.
810.
Oh, okay. He's still getting the number. Boy, that Rob.
Jeez, what? Why did you call me at the firehouse?
5807.
Oh, come on,
get the number, Rob.
What number? Let's chit chat.
Okay.
Oh, he's in here.
There he is. Thank you, Mrs. Masdick.
Take care, Mrs. M.
Hey, what you got doing for dinner tonight?
Nothing.
Really? Do you have anything planned?
Nope. I'm expect to be fed tonight. I'm sanding a new window.
Well, no. That's funny. That's why we called about your son.
Who's your son to me?
Well, I'm expecting someone to take me to dinner.
Okay.
Goodbye, Mrs. Master.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nice talking to you.
Now we attempt to call Stimpy and find out how many times he's sanded his window today.
Never heard that one before.
Just today. Yeah, just today. That's all we need to the total, just today.
Sure.
Good afternoon, Northwell Township Fire Department. Debbie speaking.
Yes, hello. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and we're doing our national radio show right now.
Yes.
We're looking for Chris Masdick.
Yes, he's here. Could you help, please?
Sure. Great.
Okay.
Great. he's gonna be upset. This is twice, like in 3 weeks, I think, we've called him.
We miss him. We miss him. There's just something about summertime where we need we need Stimpy around here. And will he be pleased? Whatever he's like polishing the fire trucks.
So to speak. So to speak.
This is the second most exciting thing I've ever held in my hand.
Oh. We are sick. I swear to God, that's the discussion that we had.
We are sick.
Before we were even on the radio, we're having that discussion in real life, not like one of our fake radio discussions.
No, seriously.
Really? Saying, who do you think does it the most? It's got to be Stim.
Where's the Dalmatian?
Firefighter Manzik could be right with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's still in the shower.
Firefighter Manzik.
And that's the other thing that's so funny.
Yeah.
He's such a big, lovable galoo to think of him as being a fireman.
I put him in the uniform real easily, though.
Oh, like in a yellow slicker?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Big guy, you know, going up the ladder.
No, a good guy who would look good wearing the suspenders.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Those big, wide, red suspenders. His plastic pants. Or whatever he wears. The big rubber pants. Black rubber.
Do you think he hangs on to the back end of the fire truck? Hey, Stimpy!
Stimpy! We had to call you.
Hey, it's us again.
It's some guys I used to work with, folks.
Oh, I thought it was...
Yeah. How are you guys?
Is this awkward calling you at your fire department?
No, it's not awkward.
Your mom gave us the number.
Oh, good. Yeah, that a girl.
Put out any fires today?
No, just some car accidents.
Oh, really? Everything going okay?
Everything's fine.
He saved a life, you know. This guy Stimpy here saved a life, right?
Yeah, you actually saved one life. Isn't that right, Stimp?
Yeah, sure, one.
That's great. How's the love life?
Bad as always.
Bad as always.
Dating anybody?
Nope.
Oh, man.
Had any dates since you've been to Detroit?
One or two.
One or two? Things didn't work out?
No, of course not.
We were having this discussion, Stimp.
How many times...
It was. We were all sort of sitting in a round table.
Yeah, I know how those go.
Discussing how many times
we each do something.
Uh huh.
You worked with us for a long enough.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what we're talking about.
Okay, good. Uh-huh. On the average, how many times a day?
A day.
A day.
Probably once.
Wow. Once a day, and that would be 7 days a week, 7 times a week.
No, probably not that often.
Really?
Not
that
often. No, probably not that much.
See, I had you pegged as the runaway leader. Like, you see, I think it's uncontrollable three, maybe four times a day.
Really? Do you ever have days where maybe twice or three times a day?
Sure.
There you go. That's my guy. No. Two or three times a day sometimes.
Hey, let's give him a round of applause. Yeah. Stimpy.
You know,
no matter how long you are away from the show, you don't miss a beat. You hop right back on the show and you answer all of our questions.
We miss you, man.
I miss you guys, too.
You ever do it at the fire station?
No.
Never?
No. Try to stay away from that.
How about at Mom's? Like George Costanza.
Well, that's the house he was raised in.
Well, I mean, since he's moved back, he has his own place now.
Oh, since you got your own place.
Right.
Ever at Mom's house?
No.
Never?
That's bad.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's where we all did it in our parents' house growing up.
Sure, but you could sneak then.
You could sneak then. Now you can't sneak. Gotcha. All right.
That's great.
We were just thinking about you.
All righty. My boss is here.
Oh, gotcha. All right. You got to go back to work?
Oh, yeah.
We miss you, Stimpy.
Miss you guys, too.
All right. You're doing a great job, Fireman Mazdik.
Thank you.
Firefighter Mazdik. Firefighter Mazdik.
Gotcha.
All righty.
And don't forget, every time a bell rings,
Stimpy's pleasuring himself.
That's the new gag we got going on today's show, every time the bell rings.
Stimpy, you must be gratified that no matter how far away you are and how long it's been, you are still prime material on this program.
Oh, he's gratified.
We miss you. We do miss you, very seriously.
Me too.
Come back and visit.
I will.
Okay, bye you, Big Galoo.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What's he saying to the chief now, you know? Oh, they were just calling, asking how many times I pleasure myself a day. Oh. Back to work.
Oh, I miss that guy.
I do, too.
God, I miss him. And God, you and I should both be shot in the head. There's something that's desperately wrong with us.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what? And they could save bullets. They could use one bullet. Just line us up side to side and one bullet go through both of our hands.
That's a lovely thought going to commercial.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Two grown men who can't get enough of each other.
Gigantic, with no more odor than a hot biscuit. The Don and Mike Show.
The show has taken a decidedly ugly turn in the last half hour with the cat fights and everything.
Now, you know, we were on vacation for a good long time, so we got to get a lot of this out of our system.
This is my favorite band now. Oasis?
You like Oasis?
Oh, yeah, I do. About you now. Let me play you, there's one song on here that it sounds like Herman's Hermits.
They say the music on this album was patterned after the Beatles' Rubber Soul and Revolver albums, and all of the songs sound like that.
Yeah, listen to this one. This is a song, I only know these by the numbers that they are on the CD.
Yeah, me too.
Number 9.
Man, it's very Beatlesque here, Al.
Mrs. Brown, you've got the lovely don't.
It's about like wanting to have relations with like cousins and sisters. She's electric.
There.
I'm totally addicted to this CD.
I can see why. Yeah, I can see what Buzz says about the Beatles thing. That's true.
Here's another good one. Number 7. Who are these guys? Who the hell is Oasis?
Who are all these people?
Just some band.
Really, who are they? And I've seen the videos. Just one guy. There's one guy who kind of looks like Tom Petty. Didn't I read that they just signed some deal like for $300 million or something for their next record?
All right. Yeah, a lot of them rock and rollers look like Tom Petty.
Handsome. Some might say the sunshine falls on you. I got to find out more about this band. How popular are they? Are they very popular? Am I late on this trend?
I heard they're almost as popular as Martin Scorsese.
Shut up. Really, how popular are they? Who would know?
Well, I don't know.
Hey, you know something?
They were very big a couple of months ago.
We're in the business of tapping into the popular trends in the United States of America, but you should say when it comes to musical taste, it shouldn't matter to you how popular they are. What should matter is that you like them, that you're into them.
You're the trendsetter.
Well, I do. And yes, thank you. Thank you both. But I do like to know that
you're on the pulse.
Yeah. Yeah, that everybody likes the same stuff that I like. Hello.
Hey, Dynamite.
Hi.
Yeah, I just saw a report about those guys the other night on that MTV news stuff.
Yes.
And they're real big in England. They have a big competition against another English band, and you better get your music in now with them because they may not live long enough for next album.
Why?
They're one of those super hard partying groups.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They've got that one song that's all about getting high.
Yeah.
Where were you when we were getting high?
And you say they're big in England?
Yeah.
But are they big in France?
Ah, I don't know.
Really, because isn't that the true measure of a group?
They got that new song, Hey Lady.
I see London. I see France. I see someone's underpants.
And then, of course, there's Germany.
Germany? See, Germany is not a good barometer of music.
They like Hasselhoff.
David Hasselhoff is a big star
there. That's what I was saying. You know, first you're popular in England and the United States, then it's France, and then you end your career with Germany.
Yeah. But you never have to end your career with Germany. You can keep playing there. David Hasselhoff is still the number one singer in Germany.
He's a genius, according to the Germans.
He's a genius!
Herr Hasselhoff!
That sounds like Stimpy.
Oh, the bell ring again.
Wilhelm Klink says, I love David Hasselhoff.
Do you see the Time Life offer they're coming out with Hogan's Heroes now? Get all the video cassettes and all the episodes.
Bam.
I'm signing up for that.
Sure.
Well, I got to find out who the lead singer is. The guy who looks like Tom Petty, the skinny guy.
Oasis.
He's good. They're good. I like them. I like them very much.
You will find me coming in the landslide of the champagne supernova
in the sky.
In the sky.
Someday you will find me.
That's good. That is so good to listen to in the car. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I was hoping to talk to Don and Mike about the band they're playing right now.
Yes, you're talking to us now. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Hey. Okay, you were talking about the band not lasting very long. I'm sorry?
Somebody said that,
A listener said they're a very party-hardy band, and so perhaps they will burn out quickly.
The two main characters in the band are two brothers, and I wasn't sure if they've known this, but they are frequently known to throw things and hit each other on stage. They've actually had to call off shows.
Cool. The more I'm thinking that these are my guys. These are my men.
We got to get them in the studio.
These are right into Martin Scorsese.
the guitar player, the older brother, actually said that he left the band about 2 weeks before their newest album, which this song is on, came out. And he said that coming back to joining the band again was the worst mistake he ever made.
I got to find out about these guys.
So they're an on the edge bunch of guys.
They're off the wall. They're
cool.
They're going to kill each other soon.
Very cool. All right, thank you.
Nope.
Thank you. Thanks, Muchly. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yes.
Hey.
Hello?
Hello, hey.
Is this Don?
Yes, and Mike.
And talking to you about Oasis.
Yes, man.
Mon. They're two brothers.
Oasis rules,
man. They come from, you know, somewhere back in England where the Beatles are from.
Okay. All right, thanks. I think we got enough background on them now, on the Schmengi brothers.
Well, at least we know they're crazy. They're acting crazy now, ain't they?
What is that from?
I don't remember.
Oh, that is from a tape about us, about a TV report about us.
Yeah, that's right. It was a local TV report. Yeah. Acting crazy now, ain't they?
Hello? I'm trying to call my house. I bought that CD for my wife. I wonder if she's listened to it. I hardly ever buy her anything like that.
The Oasis CD?
Yeah. You know what she likes? She likes dance music.
Really?
She likes, like...
Like what kind of dance music?
It is the rhythm of the night.
Oh, that stuff.
Yeah, she loves it. Hi.
Hi, Boo Boo.
Hey, have you listened to that Oasis CD that I bought you?
Yes, Boo Boo. I've listened to it.
Isn't it good?
Yeah.
See, I wish you would share that with me. I wish you would love that.
I love it. I love it. I'm listening to it now.
I wish she'd use her sultry voice that she used at the end of the show yesterday.
Sorry, I forgot.
She can't use her sultry voice because she's right now she's high.
No.
She's very high right now.
I'm trying to feel better the Mike O'Mara way. Then I'm going to move on to the pills later.
Oh, no, Frida, don't. One thing I never do is I never mix booze and pills.
Oh, no. Well, no, I'm hoping the pills won't be necessary.
She has a problem with her hand.
Oh, really?
She went to the doctor today and had to get a cortisone shot and had to get some painkillers. Yeah.
Yeah. Good thing I'm not, stimpy or something. I'd be in deep trouble.
How do you hurt that hand, Frida?
How do you think, Buzz?
The Harry Morgan way? You two weren't involved in a tussle, were you?
No, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we've been getting along pretty good since Bart hasn't been around. Not that we don't get along good when he is around.
Right.
But don't you think? This has been kind of a test ground for us.
I think it'll...
Almost finding what life will be like after Bart.
I think it'll be an easier transition than some parents have when their child grows older. I think that, you know, you and I are good friends.
Yes, we are, as a matter of fact.
But the drinks are working. This is really reassuring.
Well, all right. So she's really not in the pristine condition right now.
Yeah, well, listen, go take your pills and...
No.
Have your beer and put on your Oasis CD and go kick back.
Yeah, all right.
You have no responsibility today. Your husband's at work and your son is at camp.
I think she has the responsibility of perhaps maintaining a strong pulse, though. You know, with the painkillers and the booze.
But she's okay.
I've got 7 years to enjoy. I'm kind of like Sharon Stone in that movie Casino.
No. Yeah, you want to talk about a bad parent of that movie, doing that coke and stuff, right? Yeah. My kid?
No, let's start with James.
I'd tie my kid to the bed right now if he weren't at camp.
Sharon Stone tied her kid to the bed because she wanted to leave for a little while.
She's pretty good in that movie, actually. She actually does a pretty, turns in a pretty good performance.
You know, I'll say this about Frida, that she finally came around last night in Casino, at first with the gratuitous violence, like when Joe Pesci is going at that guy with the
pen.
With the pen. Uh-huh. I'm laughing. I'm really laughing. And she's
like Freddie Camp.
She said, no, nobody laughs like Freddie Camp at violence.
Oh, he loved violence in movies.
She says, why do you laugh at that? I said, well, after a while, it's funny because anybody says anything to Joe Pesci in this movie, and Joe Pesci wants to kill him. And it wasn't until, I think it was when Don Rickles got knocked down.
Yeah, Don Rickles.
when Joe Pesci takes a phone off the wall.
He gets mad. It's late at night, right, when he's all, he's drunk and he's in the casino.
It's 4:00 in the morning. He's not supposed to be in the casino. He takes a phone off the wall and beats Don Rickles on the head with it. And Frida laughs like it is the funniest thing that she has ever seen in her life.
I worry that you're rubbing off on me.
I said, welcome to the club. Yeah. Welcome to the club. You finally.
I'm still not to the point where I think the goo on the pen was funny. At least I'm not at that stage.
Did that tickle your funny bone, Don?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the second time I had seen the movie yesterday.
Right.
Not that I was obsessive compulsive about it or anything.
Sure.
But I watched it before I came to work and then called her on the way home last night and I said, listen, order it right now on pay-per-view, so you'll get past the first half hour, which is kind of boring, and I can arrive right around the time that Joe Pesci is hitting the guy in the neck with a pen.
See, I always told you should enjoy the casino lifestyle. It's absolutely terrific.
But I don't like the casino lifestyle. No. We had that. You know, we went to the Poconos. Where's that place we went?
It, it was one of the Caesar's places in the Poconos. One of the purple and velvet places.
Yeah, this thing looked like something that Liberace would have thrown up. This room, it was the room with the big champagne glass hot tub.
Oh, the one you almost knocked over.
Yes, right. Yeah, get into that thing with my incredible
jumping
girth.
Into it like it was a swimming pool.
Yeah, but the whole place was, and this was only a couple of years ago. The whole place was decorated like everything in the movie Casino.
Mm-hmm. It was weird. Don, Bart, and I all lying in bed looking up at each other in the ceiling, in the mirror.
Yeah, you really, I guess that's like for kinky couples.
You see, you're already talking about him. You guys miss him so much because he's at camp and he hasn't written you a letter yet.
Yes, we do. We do miss him very much.
We gave him postcards to take with him this time that were addressed and stamped, and we hoped to get get something in the mail out of it. But they were postcards of girls in bikinis, and he said he wasn't going to send them.
Sure, yeah.
He was going to keep those by his bedside.
They didn't come today in the mail, did they?
Nope.
Yeah, take another pill.
All right.
That's my answer. No letter from our son, take another pill.
Well, thanks. I got seven more years I'm going to enjoy.
Seven more years you enjoy what?
Till I'm fired.
Oh, that comment I made. That was a joke, honey.
Well,
that was a joke.
I really got a big laugh out of it. Thanks.
I will keep you around for much longer than the 7 years.
Yeah, right.
With Bart. That is a promise.
All right, boo-boo.
I will sign right now a 10-year continuation on our relationship.
A post-child agreement.
If you get some Playboy bunny that doesn't mind cooking and cleaning, I could take on an apprentice right now.
Some Playboy bunny. Like, I'm going to find some Playboy bunny to be my wife. Listen, I am such a miserable wreck. I'm glad to have you. I can't believe that you're with me. For goodness sakes.
Kelsey Grammer isn't any prize himself, though. I mean, when you really think about it. I mean, take a good, hard look at Kelsey Grammer.
Am I better than Kelsey Grammer, do you think? I'm not talking about my personality, because he'd probably win that contest. With the self-destructive behavior and everything. But strictly as a man. As a man, would you take me over Kelsey Grammer?
Oh, you have more hair to date.
I would take you over his producer.
Oh. Roz?
Over Roz.
Oh, Roz.
Yeah, I'd take you over her.
Well, thanks. What about you guys? What about the rest of y'all?
Hello, Don. Hello, Frida. I'm listening.
And the home of the brave.
And then he's off. I'm off to Africa with my new Playboy bunny bride.
Donna Capriati, pony thing, whatever her name was.
All right, I hope you feel better. Hey, put on that Oasis record. You will like that record.
All right, boo-boo. Yeah.
That record goes good with pills.
All right, thanks.
That's good. Put the headphones on.
All right, love you.
The girl with kaleidoscope eyes. I love you, too. I love you.
I love you, too. Goodbye.
All right, goodbye.
You're pretty pushing the Dr. Nick on your wife there. With
wow.
Go ahead. Take as many as you want.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Wash them down with scotch.
Que sera, sera. You know what I'm saying. I just want things to be happy when I get home tonight.
Sure. I think they're going to be very happy. Maybe.
Hello, darling. It's so good to see you. Now take me to the hospital. We will be right back. Listen. The show has taken a decidedly ugly, earthy turn in the last hour, what with the discussion of the cat fights and then the discussion about Stimpy.
Sure, we have to bring it up to that family level.
And now my wife with her pills. So when we come back from this break, we are going to call the man who invented the yellow smiley face.
Wonderful.
You know, the half a happy day face?
You mean it wasn't Forrest Gump?
No, it wasn't Forrest Gump. It was Harvey Ball.
We will try desperately to keep it on the up and up.
Be right back.
This should be played at high volume.
The Don and Mike Show.
Preferably in a residential area.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. Bet you can't eat just one.
Howdy, hi, we're back. We'll take phone calls in the next hour. Rotating random phone scan coming at you. Plus, is a story about Brett Butler and her boobs.
Oh, yeah, my hooters.
Yeah, a problem involving the kid on the show. One of the boys who plays one of her sons on the show.
Really?
Has been yanked off, if you'll pardon the pun, has been taken off the show by his...
Did anybody ring a bell?
By his parents, because the story is that... Brett Butler, when she got her new Brett. Well, listen, I'll tell you about it. I was going to try to keep the show on a a higher plane during
we
this
have
break.
To call Mr. Ball.
Yes, we'll tell you about Brett Butler in a few. Phone scan coming up. Also, if we have time, well, here's something to keep it show on a nice high level, the Vibrator Olympics.
There you go.
And we still have the guy coming by with the cat fight movies.
Yes, the show is today all about sex.
Who doesn't like sex, Mike? Who doesn't enjoy sex?
I tell you, the whole country's talking about it.
Let's change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do a warm and fuzzy phone call right now.
I think this is a terrific idea because I love this symbol. It brings warmth to my heart.
I hate this freaking smiling yellow face that we all saw back in the 70s.
Don, if we didn't have the smiley face, we wouldn't have Mr. Yuck.
Yeah. Well, here now is the story. And the guy lives in Worcester, Massachusetts, one of the fine cities that carries our program.
My grandmother was born in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Well, this guy's name is Harry, I'm sorry, Harvey. I didn't mean to say that.
I know you didn't.
Harvey Ball. No, I didn't.
No, you really didn't, and that's what made it funny. Harry Ball. Harvey Ball?
Yeah.
Is it Harvey?
Harvey
Ball.
Harvey Ball is the man who invented the yellow smiley face. They have a happy day face.
Now, my question would be that before that was quote-unquote invented, didn't everybody draw like a smiling stick figure face like that?
Well, no, but the yellow.
Coloring it in with like a highlighter.
And weren't the eyes longer and skinnier on hello, is this Mr. Ball?
Yes.
Hi, Harvey. This is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara, and we're doing our national radio show right now.
Yeah.
We wanted to give you a quick call to tell you that you've won a prize, being the Don and Mike Senior Citizen of the Week.
And you get that prize because you invented the smiley face. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Well, here he is, the man who invented the Have a Happy Day face.
Yeah. Polite golf applause for Mr. Harvey Ball, the inventor of the smiley face. How did that happen, Harvey?
Can we ask?
It was a little inter-office smile campaign that was... I'm a little out of breath. I come running in.
Catch your breath, Harvey.
It's 1963, late 63, early 64.
He had to catch his breath.
And it was a local insurance company, and they had purchased a smaller insurance company out in Ohio.
See, ladies and gentlemen, the reason that I even selected this call, what a boring call this is. Yeah. This simply is a balance call to balance out all of the other stuff we've done in the hour.
Doesn't veer away, though, from our love of pop culture.
Growling and snapping.
The guy's so boring, though. I mean, I don't know if we can really listen to the whole answer.
I was lighting up around here. And they decided to have a little smile campaign, and it was some desk.
See, this is simply balancing out the Stimpy talk and the cat fight movies.
So we can't be labeled as potty mouths all the time.
Right. So we do have some redeeming factors on the show.
I hope the smile campaign worked. I never heard, but I think it probably did. But
it's like the longest run-on sentence in the history of the world.
Hey, the important thing is he's answering the question.
You know, to give out.
Some shows we would listen, but not on this show.
Perked and long.
And I would have to say it's a pretty good call not to be listening to this.
Nationwide, and
it was just one of those little human interest stories that caught our eye. Yeah, so
well, that's great. I didn't know it was that involved a story that it took that long to develop.
Are you popular nationally because of this? Do you tell people that you're the guy who invented the yellow smiley face?
Not really.
Do you make any money off the yellow smiley face?
No.
How did that happen? How did that happen, Harvey?
Okay, it was not copyrighted, and so when it was out in the public domain,
so anyway.
Yeah, what you were saying. Yeah, but this does offer, I think, balance to the show.
Well, you know, the thing is, maybe somebody who got in the car an hour ago and heard us talking about the topless boxers, they get in the car now an hour later, and look, we're doing something totally different. We're calling a kindly gentleman who invented the yellow smiley face. Yeah.
You can't just stick a label on this show and pigeonhole us.
Not us.
No, it's impossible. You get it from all sides here.
Oh, what's the newspaper? The USA Today. Did you hear it there? Read it there? Somebody?
Oh, yes, we did. USA Today.
Yeah, right.
Hey, now, Mike, listen.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You stop funning Harvey here.
I was clearing my throat.
Okay. Harvey,
yeah.
did you see the movie Forrest Gump?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And your feelings on the smiley face in the movie Forrest Gump?
Well, I wasn't upset. I kind of got a judge out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you have any T-shirts?
Not so long after the movie came out, I'd seen it, and I was in a convenience store. And
so listen, like I was telling you during the commercials,
yes,
I think your wife should go buy the Independence Day tickets the day of the show.
Okay, all right.
That way you guys can time it out, like to go to an 8 o'clock show. She'll already have the tickets. You meet her at the theater,
yeah.
And that way you don't have to worry about waiting in line.
So, you know, we feel like little kids again. I mean, it's weird. You know, it's been so long since we've actually been out to a movie. We usually go out to dinner, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
So that's where we are.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
And, what is the final message? Was there a message that you were trying to send with a smiley face? Would you be happy if that is your legacy?
It's. I can't think of a better one. Smile.
Yeah.
Be happy.
Make somebody else.
What?
That's a slogan we have on our program. Be happy. Make somebody else. Let a smile be your handshake.
Handshake.
Well, that sounds good.
And if you see Kay Ballard, you tell Kay Ballard to have a happy day from the Don and Mike show.
That's right. She's going to be in the 10K run.
Okay.
Just for a woman named Kay. So, Mr. Ball, what do you do now for a living, sir?
Well, I'm sort of semi-retired. I do some artwork.
Some artwork?
Graphics, yeah.
Great.
And, also some drawing and painting. And so on.
How has the art world changed, as you've seen it over the years, how has it changed?
Well, not for the better as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, really? Why?
Well, I think a lot of the...
I think we're getting pizza tonight because Frida does not feel like cooking.
When they're selling tickets in advance of a movie like that, how early? I mean, can you get them all day?
Yeah.
During the summer, you can get them all day. Right?
Sometimes you can do it on the phone. If they take credit cards, you can
do
it on the phone. But then the problem is...
I can't, as you say. Dear.
The problem is that then when you get there, you have to wait in line to go actually run your credit card thing through the machine.
So it's better just earlier in the day to go buy the tickets.
Sure. Like whenever the box office opens, they sell tickets for all of the shows.
And that's the one, right? I mean, that's the
go
first
see
movie,
that one.
First movie in a millennium that I've gone to see in the... Yeah.
Next to that is...
You will love it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
And nothing but...
It'll be a good Friday night.
Now, a very special episode of the Don and Mike Show.
Heck, everyone's a special one. Glad that you're with us. Phone calls coming up in a few. Rotating random phone scan. We have a new edition of Dear Dottie today.
All right.
And the Vibrator, as Ellie would say, the Vibrator Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great stories from the newspaper, including, let me see, a lady who gave CPR to her son's iguana.
Yeah.
Mouth to mouth.
I think that takes a great deal of courage.
And that story about Harry Morgan that we'll get to in just a second.
Oh, dear.
First, we have to... We have to sign, what is this? This is from Julie from Wichita, Kansas. Remember the couple that I married when we were broadcasting in Wichita a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, it's a hazy memory, but I remember it.
Russell and Julie Morrison from Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah.
They really, really got married.
Right.
Based on the fact that I got that mail order Be a Reverend thing, and we forgot to sign some of the papers. Remember, you were the witness, and
yes,
I was the reverend.
That's right.
And as you can see right here, there is the state of Kansas, Department of Health and Environment, mm-hmm, Office of Vital Statistics, the marriage license.
There it is.
And let me see. I have to sign. Don, you need to complete the ceremony section. Both sheets.
Okay.
Mike, you need to sign as witness under the groom's signature on both sheets.
Okay, now, so you have information you have to put in there, or... What do they want to know?
Let me see.
The ceremony, perhaps.
I certify that the above named persons were married on 6/21/96.
Mm-hmm.
Signature of person performing ceremony.
Got it.
Geronimo. Title, DJ. Name of person,
DJ.
John. Geronimo. DJ, not to be confused with OJ. And listen, that OJ, Yeah. He's got to stop doing so much crazy stuff.
Yes.
You know, because I almost felt the need to call into the show last week when I heard about the latest escapades of O.J., not to mention the fact that he had the big anti-violence thing at his house.
This big reception for the, you know, against domestic violence.
Opening up a burger joint, wants to open up a restaurant, and wants custody of his kids.
Right.
Because he doesn't think that they're being raised in an Afro-American environment.
Yes, well, that's, you know, he a lot of members of the African-American community has said that where was O.J. before the trial, and they've answered their own question with nowhere, and now he's aligning himself with the African-American community, and this is what this sounds like.
He is still searching for the killers on golf courses, on the finest golf courses in America, that O.J.
One day he will unearth the killers in some sand trap somewhere.
So anyway, here, sign that during the next break if you get a chance. There's the wedding license, the actual
ceremony,
the actual marriage license. A couple of quick thoughts here. The guy in St. Louis, I can't find the letter now. I think I left it back at the office. I'll read it tomorrow. All I know is that this guy Jim Corcoran, who was a friend of mine, I thought he was a friend of mine from a long time ago, the guy that I got into radio with when I was just a teenager.
Right.
I played that tape of him a couple of weeks ago, a tape of he and I doing like a weird talk thing when we were both working on music stations.
In your radio infancy, it was something where it was amusing because you guys were really branching out from the format where they restricted you, I guess, with a lot of music.
Yeah, and I didn't think that I said anything that was awful about that guy. I said I think that he had been a friend of mine and that he was slightly annoying when he would come to visit us. Because, and this is true, he would bring an actual scrapbook, and he would come in and sit down at the kitchen table, and he would, like, show us, listen, here's where I got my name in the paper for doing this, and here's where I got my name in the paper for doing this, and anyway, I got a real F.U. letter from him.
You had asked me about this earlier, and I don't remember whether you said anything inflammatory or not.
What did I say so bad about that guy?
I think just what you just said now, that he would bring, you know, videos and scrapbooks and that kind of thing, and you know, he found that a little tiresome.
Outside of calling him, like, an egomaniacal jackass.
I did not call him an egomaniacal jackass.
I know you did. I know you know.
No. There, I found it right here. Well, I don't have time for it today. Well, tomorrow.
Oh, don't lose it. Come on. Come on, read it now.
Okay.
Please.
Okay.
All right, good.
Okay. It's funny, Michael. Of course, now that's my real name,
really.
Everybody.
So. Is that how it starts?
Yeah. It's funny, Michael. I remember it all differently. Now, keep in mind, as far as I know, the only thing that I ever did to this guy was say that on occasion he would come over to the house and he would bring scrapbooks with him. And when he would leave, Frieda and I would say, isn't that weird that the guy, like, wants to bring us every piece of newspaper that he's ever been in? That's... If I said anything else about this guy, I'm going to need to know that before I talk about him anymore.
I don't think you did.
And I don't remember all. I remember the most the tape that you played. That's what I remember best.
Yeah, nothing there.
It was kind of funny. It was kind of cute, actually.
Kind of a throwaway, and I didn't even know that the guy is still, apparently the guy's still working at St. Louis. He's working at the, looks like he's working at a station that's owned by the station that we're on.
Oh.
Does he list any of the things that you said?
Well, no, he only says about the part about the clippings. Well, here's what it says. It's funny, Michael.
that's quite a way to start a letter.
And he's my real a-hole buddy, because he wrote this on station letterhead and faxed it to me on the 1st of July, so it was sitting in the back room for like a full week for everybody to come by and take a look at and read before I got here today.
Alright.
It's funny, Michael. I remember it all differently. Having survived together and having escaped the likes of... Then he mentions a bunch of guys we worked with before. Watching you go from being fired for playing that rowdy Seals and Crofts song, watching you through your first marriage...
Got to stop you right there. You were fired for playing a rowdy Seals and Crofts song, and I'm not aware that there is a rowdy Seals and Crofts
song. Oh, there is. It was the flip side of, I think, Diamond Girl. Really rocked.
Oh, really? Okay.
I got fired because I flipped the record over.
Okay, cool.
Watching you come up through the ranks... Watching you get fired at the string of stations where things came up short to where you are now, I thought we had a kinship and we were friends. Well, what do you know? I always thought of you as the talented one, the one who always got the best jobs in the best cities for the most money. I was never jealous of your success. I was happy for you. Maybe you didn't realize it, but I felt like a big shot to be able to tell people I knew you. As for your commentary a few weeks ago, consider the following. My commentary. When I played a tape of us when we were like kids.
Yeah. He's mad.
I always came to see you. I don't ever remember you driving a couple of hours to visit me. In 1992, when I called out of work, you were only able to speak with me for a few moments. And that follow-up call when you had more time never seemed to take place. Mentioning Frida as someone who thinks I'm a jerk struck me as particularly odd, since I have vivid memories of sitting through 2 hours of her horror stories about you one night in Washington when you guys were broken up. I've talked to Frida about this, and incidentally, he's not holding on to this memory too much. That's from 1981.
Wow.
When she went out with him, when we had gone through some problems.
Mm-hmm.
When you guys were Splitsville, and they were horror stories. I remember being surprised to hear you had gotten back together. How very odd that she, of all people, would think badly of me. You can tell her that for me. I am truly sorry if I irritated the two of you after a decade of watching your success. I finally had something of my own that I could show off. I guess I assumed you'd feel some sort of reciprocal happiness. That's what you expect from a friend, you know.
Oh, man.
Keep in mind, I'm still wondering, what did I say about this guy? These days, by the way, I gauge my success differently. My wife and my two daughters will never have to worry about me getting into some of the trouble that you have.
Wow.
I'm proud of my work, and I stay busy trying to rebuild my career. They say old friends are the best friends. Maybe someday it'll strike you how over the many years I've tried to be your friend and how thoughtless it was of you to speak of me in such abusive terms.
What?
See, well, you know, I think this guy didn't hear this. Somebody went back to this guy.
Yeah, must have been. Sounds like it. That happens a lot where they'll get it secondhand.
That you would drill me after all of these years is something I think we should both think about. Go figure that out.
Yeah, it sounds like a misunderstanding.
Go figure that out. He could kiss my ass.
Well, friend. So much for the misunderstanding cleared up. Yeah. I guess you won't be contacting him, huh?
No, I am now. This is my way of contacting him now. How you doing, buddy? What did I say about you that was so bad? Well, I say you used to bring your scrapbooks over? It was boring. I guess old friends are the best friends, and old friends are also the pickiest friends, for God's sakes. And even though you're still on the face of the earth, congratulations on your wife and your family. I'm sure you won't make the same tragic mistakes that I have. You douche.
Oh, God.
Come on, that letter upset me. That's like a mean letter.
That's a very mean letter.
And as far as I know...
A lot of meanness in that letter, a lot of nastiness in that letter.
I need to make sure I didn't say anything mean about him before I really totally go off here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I did. I don't think so. His name is Jim Corcoran.
I remember the tape, and I remember you talking about the fact that you thought it was unusual that he brought scrapbooks over of his radio success.
That's all I said about the guy.
Yeah, and anybody, obviously, I must say also that anybody that knows you well, it would surprise me that anyone would do that if they were invited to come visit you. It just seems to me if I came over and I said, hey, I want to show you some of my, here, Don, I'm bringing my radio spots over to play for you. I
mean, well, that's what he would do.
See, that doesn't make any sense.
That's what the guy would do, like bring tapes, like say, here's another, like bring promotional folders over and stuff that like had his picture in them and stuff and show them to us. And we'd, I remember sitting at the table in Chicago and looking at, giving Frida like the look like, what is this? But that's all I ever said about the guy.
Yeah.
I always considered him to be a friend of mine also, for goodness sakes.
And I know that hurts you when you get a letter like that.
Sure. Yes, it does. But he is right about a couple of things.
And you hurt him right back by saying, kiss my ass.
Yeah,
and now it's all unraveling, and I think both of you ought to call each other and clear up the misunderstanding.
Well, I would call him, except I don't know his phone number. But he sure does know my fax number.
Mm-hmm.
There it is right there.
Well, hopefully you two guys can talk in the future, and everything can be hunky-dory.
Well, if we're going to talk, I'd rather do it right here at this public forum, right here on the show.
That'll help.
Because I don't know why he's so mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry if I pissed you off.
Maybe he heard it secondhand. That's what I'd like to think.
I'm positive he did. Somebody in the building must have said, oh, man, he was going off on you today.
Yeah.
I didn't.
That's the way.
I'm going off on you today. I didn't go off on you before.
That's the way things normally happen. When they get it secondhand, people like to tweak it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we really want to go off on somebody, we both can do a much better job than was done on that. I mean, you weren't trying.
I was. Believe it or not, I believe what I was speaking about. I was speaking with fondness in
fun
my
memories.
Voice.
Sure.
It's a guy that was a friend of mine for a long time when I was breaking into radio. Besides, you should be glad for the exposure. Mm-hmm. We're on a lot of stations. Maybe this will help your career out now.
Right.
Where are you working now? It doesn't say where you're working. What station are you working at? KSD? That's our station. You working at Y98? I don't know. And don't call me Michael, for God's sakes. Well, it's funny, Michael.
See, if somebody started a letter that, you know, to me with that, I'd go nuts. I hate that, Michael.
I remember it all differently. Well, I think I told the story as he writes it here that we, like, climbed up through the radio ranks together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when you were both... I remember said that tape that you played was when you were both... branching out, and it was kind of a feeling your oats tape when you talked to him on the show.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like we were here, we're breaking the rules here, and we're doing it together, and this is fun.
That's kind of a cruel thing, also about Frieda. 2 hours of horror stories about you one evening in Washington when you guys were Splitsville, and they were horror stories, and like a lot of words are underlined and stuff in here. Let it go, man.
Maybe he's sore about that.
Let it go.
I've never been particularly fond of that form of communication. I think when you write a letter to somebody and you don't call them, you don't talk to them, it doesn't... It doesn't give the opportunity for an exchange. It's frustrating.
Right, say this is like everything else with Jim Corcoran. It's done on wonderful station letterhead.
Right.
Might as well have sent me one of your publicity pictures, too.
I only write negative letters for two reasons. If I'm so mad that it's going to make me feel better, or if I want to get money back.
Yeah.
Two reasons to send negative letters. Otherwise, send positive letters.
All right, well, let me try to call the station. There's a phone number here.
Good idea.
I'll get the guy in Florida again.
That'd be Marty Dennis, Buzz.
Yeah.
Marty Dennis, who, just a good guy all around. He'd never write a nasty letter.
Believes Jim Morrison's alive.
Boy, that hurt my feelings.
I know you're hurt. I can tell when you're hurt. Sure.
I really am. This really had me, like, bummed out before the show today.
I know.
KSD 188.
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike. We're on one of your stations right now.
Uh-huh.
On KSD. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, doing great. Can you tell me, does this guy, Jim Corcoran, does he work at one of our stations?
Yes, he does.
What station does he work at?
The KSD FM.
Oh, he works on the FM?
Right. He's the morning guy.
He's the morning guy. Okay, will you tell him that I called?
All right.
Tell him I got his nice fax.
Oh, yeah?
That's a really nice fax.
Okay.
Tell him I never said anything about him, but I'm starting to now.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll do that for you.
All right, tell him good luck on rebuilding his career, as he's written.
Okay. I will do that.
And I hope his wife and his two daughters never have to worry about him getting into the trouble that I get into.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and please tell me he is right. I am the talented one.
Okay.
I am the one who always got the best jobs in the best cities for the most money. He's right about that.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll pass it along.
And listen, tell him, listen. Let's bury the hatchet, shall we?
Certainly. After you've just sharpened it, let's bury it.
How about that?
Listen, tell him to call me sometime, please. Do you ever see the guy?
Oh, yeah, I see him.
Is he still a big, goofy-looking guy with big, like, afro hair?
No. No, he's not.
Does he have his hair still?
Huh?
Does he have his hair?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. But
it's not the afro, though.
He would probably... Well, he had an afro when I knew him.
Right. Actually, I just saw a picture of that yesterday. It was an old-time picture of him.
Was he showing you one of his clippings? Was he?
He just showed it to me what he looked like about 20 years
ago. All right. Okay, all right. What can I say? Listen, you tell him that's all I ever said about him on the radio is that he drove me and my wife crazy by showing us his clippings. That's all.
I would love to tell him that.
See, no wonder he was sensitive about it. He's still doing it.
Listen, I like that guy. I still think he's a friend of mine, even though he's terribly hurt me by writing me this mean letter. You tell him that if I was not such a busy man with our national show, I would have written him a letter back. But I'm too busy. You know, broadcasting to 35 cities and such.
Oh, that's a tough job.
Yes, it is. It's a real ball buster of a job.
Ah, every day. It's a grind. And the pressure's immeasurable.
It's a real what?
It's a grind.
Oh, okay.
It's a grind, my good man.
All right.
Well, listen, please tell him that I called.
I sure will.
Please tell him I was really hurt by this mean fax. And tell him that next time to listen to our show if he wants to hear exactly what I'm saying, because I'm sure what he's repeating back is, like, secondhand.
Yeah, sure. When I hang up, you're probably going to continue on blasting him.
Now, wait a minute. I think we might have found our source here.
Yeah. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I wasn't blasting him.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear it a couple of weeks ago?
No, I didn't.
Are you the guy who told him?
No.
Do you know that if he got his information about our show firsthand or secondhand?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I really don't know about that one.
Hmm.
I think you do.
I do, too.
I think you probably were the one that said we were blasting him in the first place.
Did you tell him?
I didn't tell him anything.
Are you a friend of his?
Well,
Yeah, you're a friend of his, aren't you?
Sure.
That's okay. I used to be a friend of his. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
He's got some good qualities. I used to like him before he sent me this letter.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He sent me a very mean letter.
Oh, yeah?
They're very obviously...
I can't believe that he would do that.
Well, then you don't know Jim Corcoran very well.
Well, he's always been nice to me, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess you never blasted him on the radio like I did.
You know, this is
John and Mike Rule, buddy boy. Hey.
Now, who is that? who is that?
That was a imitation of Smokey Rivers.
Oh, was that Smokey?
No, it wasn't Smokey.
Let me hear that. We always like a good Smokey impression.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to see if I can get him out here again?
Yeah.
All right, hang on. Can you hold on?
Yes.
All right, I'm sure you're going to talk about me while I got you on hold, but that's all right.
God, right. This guy has to be the mole. This guy is the guy who has to...
Yeah, you're the problem, child. Absolutely.
Paranoia abounds.
I know you're going to talk about me now.
I know you are.
Are you going to blast me? Well, now I probably really screwed it up with this guy because I really did say nothing about him before, but yeah. Now I'm so mad I did. Well, screw him. He deserves it now.
Well, you're hurt by the letter.
All right, I found the source again. You want to talk to him?
Yeah, the guy who told Jim Corcoran?
Oh, no, not who told Jim Corcoran, no.
The guy that was doing the smoking.
Yeah, doing the smoking.
All right, yeah, let's hear that.
Sure. Okay, here, hold on. Dude, just...
Hey, buddy, how you doing, buddy? Bro.
This guy's doing the impression of the guy that runs the station in St. Louis.
How you doing today, Smokey?
Doing fine, buddy. How you doing, folks?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, bro.
Are you guys aware that Smokey's favorite drink is peppered vodka?
Oh, yeah.
But you've got to say it like this. Oh, peppered vodka.
Yeah. Peppered vodka.
Yeah. Hey, bro. Hey, man. All right. Thank you guys.
Hey, you're welcome, buddy.
Okay, buddy. Bye, Smokey.
Hey, Don and Mike Rule, buddy. You guys cool.
Bye, man.
All right, bro.
Bye, dude.
Right.
Bye-bye. All right. Well, that's what's happening at our station in St. Louis.
Absolutely. And, you know, this you get it secondhand, and sometimes it sounds like you may, you know, this is like, it's, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like every other station we're on.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
You never know.
They're all scared. Of course it does. Screw them. I don't need friends.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
No, everybody
you do.
Needs
everybody
friends.
Everybody needs friends,
Don. I got my friends. They're on Thursday night at 9 o'clock on Channel 4. George and
that's right.
Jerry and Dreamer and Elaine.
That's right. I guess you do have the magic box, and if you have that, you're A-OK.
They're my friends.
Sure, my friends.
My friends.
Jerry, my friend.
We'll be right back.
Radio Gods.